Joe Boyd's biography reads like some kind of pop music Zelig story.
I was a young man back in the 1960s.
He helped discover folk artists like Richard Thompson and Nick Drake in the 1960s. He booked Pink Floyd as the house band at the club he ran in London. When Bob Dylan went electric at the Newport Folk Festival, Joe Boyd was the stage manager. Much later, Boyd helped bring world music to the West with a music label called Hannibal Records. But he was never a musician himself. Joe told us how he made that decision on one fateful afternoon while he was waiting in right field.
When I was a teenager, there were two strands to my musical life. On the one hand, my brother and Jeff Muldaur and I used to sit around and listen to old jazz and blues records endlessly in the afternoons. Louis Armstrong, Lonnie Johnson, Robert Johnson, Big Bill Brunsey, Billie Holiday, Bessie Smith, all that. Good golly, Miss Molly. And then, of course, in the evenings, if there was a party, we'd go and dance to Little Richard or Fats Domino and Elvis Presley, whatever. And we were just like normal teenagers in that sense. We liked, you know, the best records on the top 40. And because there wasn't a lot of literature about that connection, about the continuity through rhythm and blues into the 40s and 50s, they always seemed like two separate worlds to me. They were kind of, I didn't sort of perceive exactly what the connection was. And one day I was standing in right field catching fly balls and realizing that the first team was taking batting practice and I was definitely on the second team and that I was never going to be a star baseball player. And at that moment, a nearby window opened and out wafted the sound of the new Fats Domino single. I think it was Walking to New Orleans. This time I'm walking to New Orleans. And in that moment, maybe it was the New Orleans name in the title or something, I got it. I got that Fats Domino was really a continuity from all the stuff that we listened to. There was no difference between what we listened to in the afternoon and what we listened to in the evenings. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. I just finished reading this book by Sam Charters called The Country Blues, which talked about Ralph Peer and how he went through the South recording artists for Bluebird Records. And he discovered one afternoon in Bristol, West Virginia, he discovered Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. And in that moment, I knew, I mean, I loved music, but I knew I would never be a musician. I didn't have the discipline. I didn't have the mentality to kind of sit around and practice all the time. But I loved listening. And I realized that being a record producer like Ralph Peer wasn't something that existed in the past. It could exist in the future. And it had the added bonus of being a career that would probably make most of the first team of the baseball varsity jealous. Went out to California and I walked into a job with Contemporary Good Time Jazz Records. And so I had my apprenticeship and that sort of whetted my appetite for it. I could see, you know, my job in the mailroom was moving everything out of the way, moving the piano into position because the mailroom turned into a studio. And great jazz musicians would walk through the door and we'd make these amazing records and then we'd move it back into a mailroom. My brother and I and Jeff Muldaur were, you know, one of our great favorites was Lonnie Johnson. He was a real hero. Yes, another night to cry. And one day, there was a broadcast from out of Philadelphia, Chris Albertson, wonderful jazz writer and broadcaster, who announced that he had discovered that Lonnie Johnson was living in Philadelphia and working as a cook. Because I miss you so. Yes, you'll never know how much you made me suffer. Baby, you will never know. We were so excited by this. We just got, one day we kind of got almost dizzy with excitement and looked up Lonnie Johnson, and there he was. My tears would fall like drops of rain. So we just dialed the number, and yes, it was him. And we didn't know what to say exactly, and then we said, well, would you come and play a concert? And he said, sure, and asked for $50. And so we said, yeah. And then we drove down to Philadelphia and brought him back to Princeton, and we had the concert.
And hide me all over again.
And it was very formative for me because it was sort of, you know, you had this fantasy, let's find Lonnie Johnson. And a week later, he's sitting in a room, and there's all your friends sitting on the floor and in chairs, completely enraptured by his playing. And this whole experience just felt, oh, okay. It's not just a fantasy. You can actually think of it and then do it.
Maybe it may be tomorrow, and it may be a month or so.
Joe Boyd's memoir of the 60s is called White Bicycles. Studio 360's Rob Weisberg produced our story. And that is it for this week's show. I'd like to wish you a happy new year, or at least a new year happier than the last. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll listen again in 2009.